to thank him for who he is. And you're the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me till the end. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. One more time. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him more. I wonder if you could lift your hands and tell him how much you trust him. Come on, it's one thing to say you love him, but it's another thing to say that you trust him. Come on, I trust in you, Jesus. I trust in you, Jesus. Oh, I feel your presence in this place, God. Hallelujah. I trust in you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus, what an honor it is to be here. I give honor to Brother Schoonover and my counterpart, you know, Nick Stick Together. And the Hart family, they're like my family. Joel's Hart has been a friend of mine. He's been a mentor to me. He's been a confidant. He's guided me. That's not easy. Because if I can mess up, trust me, I can mess it up. And I'm thankful for his prayers and what his family means to me. And I'm thankful because I really feel like God, if we'll just step into something. He wants to drop some shackles off somebody, some bondage that you've been carrying around. And I'm just going to speak to you for a little while from the heart, and not that heart. This heart. Romans 8:1. Have your Bibles, iPads, iPhones, Kindles, Nooks, Androids. Yeah. My batteries never went out on my Bible. Just letting you know. You ought to try carrying your Bible some. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And I want to preach just for a little bit on the separation of condemnation. I want to talk to you for a little bit about my journey, how when I received the Holy Ghost. And I feel that if you'll open up, that God's going to free you from some things in your mind. Come on, that's the biggest enemy we fight right there. That's the biggest prison, is the prisons of our mind. Come on, we're going to crucify it. Chains are going to fall off. If you've never spoken in tongues, I speak the word of faith. You can receive it tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, lift your hands with me. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I need you to anoint me right now more than I've ever been anointed before. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take dominion over any spirits. I take dominion over any fears. I take dominion over any doubts or disbelief. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority. In the name of Jesus. Lord, let the gifts of the Spirit begin to operate in this place. Lord, let us step into the supernatural. Come on, I speak against sickness. I speak against disease. I speak against depression and fear and anxiety. I cast it out of this place in the name of Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I came to Jesus and was filled with the Holy Ghost in March of 2004. Now, this was the most monumental time in my life because I had for 21 years walked in the deepest, darkest depths of sin since the age of 17. I came to him, a man from all appearances who looked beyond repair. But can I tell you, at the foot of the cross, come on, at the foot of the cross, his redemptive, his cleansing blood took a broken and marred vessel named Nick Mahaney, and he put it back together again. I want you to know that in a moment, I was not only forgiven, but I was freed from the tyranny of sin. You see, I was bound for 21 years by drugs and alcohol, but now I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. Come on, I was set free from this life of brokenness. I was set free from a life of sorrow. And I now began walking down this glory road towards heaven. You see, even though I was delivered, and even though I had been set free, now came the process of my growth spiritually. This would have greatly affect my physical world as well. I had a hard time understanding, and I had a hard time grasping how God could love and forgive a man who had done so many things wrong. You see, even though the old man died, the new man still carried the scars and the memories. Memories that at times would literally break me down with tears of shame and sorrow streaming down my face. When I came to church, I was always the first one in the altar because I would fall on my face and run and beg for forgiveness over and over again. You see, the enemy was not willing to let go and accept defeat. So what he was doing was he was heaping condemnation upon me. What I hadn't come to grips with at that time was that the price had already been paid. Come on, that not just me, but the best person doesn't deserve his grace and mercy that he purchased for us at Golgotha. Not just me and my horrible sins before me, but even the best person would fall short of him. So night after night, in an attack against me, the devil was using condemnation as his weapon because he knew from the eons of manipulation, if I ever realized who I was, come on, and I began crucifying this flesh and not walking in the flesh, but walking in the spirit, that the real truth would come out, that I would no longer walk in fear. Come on, that I would no longer walk afraid, but I would walk in dominion and I would walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. When I received his spirit resided in me. When I began to speak in another language, I'm going to tell you, the devil knew that if I ever realized who I was, that he was going to have a major problem on his hands. Can I tell you right now that I'm so thankful that I've learned to walk in the spirit. I'm so thankful that I realize that I'm not warring in my flesh, but I'm seeking the face of God. So every church service, even in the middle of the night, I would be attacked in my mind and those old dirty feelings of unworthiness and shame. They would begin to creep in and attack me. And with that came the struggle to overcome sin, because without realizing it, Bishop, I was battling just in my flesh. 2 Corinthians tells us, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought, come on, every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You see, even though my walk in life was flesh, my battle was so more far-reaching. It was spiritual. In my past, in my flesh, I had been in many brawls and usually came out the winner. So this carnal mind of mine was thinking, you know what? You can do it. You're a strong man. You can do it. You've been through a lot of things. You can win this. But the word says we have to cast down the imaginations in our mind, because we will think that we can do it on our own. We must bring every thought into captivity. Can I tell you, there's many times a day, I'll just be open with you, that I have to say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that thought. In the name of Jesus, get away from me. Come on, then I destroy all the disobedience. And God will step in and he will fight our battles and he will destroy the strongholds that's trying to hold you back from becoming who he wants you to be. You see, the devil doesn't have to make us all drug addicts or alcoholics to destroy us. If he can get us into our flesh, if he can get you into disobedience, he will destroy you just as fast by making your mind carnal, thinking that you can do it on your own. And through deception and lack of submission, it will be over and he will have you in a stronghold. If you're not careful, it will cost you your soul. Romans 8, 6. I'm going to be in Romans for a little while, so Romans 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many want peace? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You see, it's death. It's not a physical death, but it's a spiritual death. My flesh, Nick Mahaney's flesh, is an enemy to God. I can't please God in my flesh. That's why it's so important that we learn to pray in tongues. Come on. That we open up a conduit that's a direct flow with God. You need to find you a place every day. If I don't find me a place every day, I'm going to tell you what happens. Carnal things begin to come up in my mind. If I don't find me a place every day, this flesh tries to step in and rule my life. If I don't get me a place on my face and pray and cry out to God, I find out that I'm starting to stray just a little bit. We got to learn to pray, church. We've got to learn to give it everything we got. And you can't just pray, but you got to get in this right here. You got to be fed by the word of God. Romans 8 and 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What's the spirit of Christ? Hello? Holy Ghost. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. You see, I have a hope. I have a promise that one of these days the eastern skies are going to roll back like a scroll. The trump of God is going to sound, and I'm going to shake off this mortal body. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to step into an immortal body. Come on, I can't wait to be at the throne of Jesus. Come on, I can't wait to run down the streets of gold shouting and praising God. That's why I need the Spirit of God in me, because it's going to be His Spirit that quickens me. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Y'all following me? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear. Come on, fear brings in bondage. But ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You see, when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I quit living after the flesh or doing, in other words, or doing what mattered to me and not to God, which is nothing but death. But I was given life. I'm no longer in bondage. I'm no longer that sinful man. That old sinful man died March of 2004, but I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Come on, he's my father. He loved me so much that he adopted me. Come on, every step that I take, Jesus is walking with me. Every breath that I take, Jesus is there with me. When I get up in the morning, I get up in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but driving down the road, I begin to pray and begin to thank Jesus. When I go to eat lunch, I thank Jesus for my food. When I go to bed at night, I thank Jesus. He's always there. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. Romans 8 and 28. Now, we all like this scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. See, when I serve God, when I love him with everything that I have within me, that not just some things, but all things, he works all things. Even when it's going good, it's all because of Jesus. When it's going bad, guess what? He's behind the scenes. We don't understand it sometimes. I didn't understand it when I lost my father. I didn't understand it when I lost my sister. I didn't understand it when I lost my grandson. But he was right there. He was always there working for me because he's a righteous God. He's a righteous God. I was raised on the evangelistic field. By the age of 17, I was already smoking weed and June of 1983, Redfield, Arkansas, senior camp, youth camp. I came to youth camp with 2 ounces of weed and 2/5 of vodka. and I stayed high all week long. They caught me on Thursday, brought me up to Jerry Dean, who was my youth president. And Brother Dean, I'll never forget, he pointed his finger in my face. He said, Nick Mahaney, he said, I ought to call the police. I ought to call your dad. He said, but something's telling me that you're at a crossroads in your life. He said, I'm going to let you go because you got to find something here tonight. I went back to the dorm. I started drinking. And by the time church rolled around, before the first song was even over, I tapped my friends on the leg and told them I'll never be back, that I didn't even believe in God, didn't believe in this message. By the time I was 18 years old, 1 year, I was a full-blown alcoholic. And I'm talking about somebody whose hands shake like this. And the only way I could get my hands to quit shaking every morning was I'd start pouring vodka or bourbon and then start rolling dope. I'd smoke dope and drink until I went into alcoholic blackouts. I've awakened up in ditches or wake up out your car wrapped around trees and you're thrown out in the woods. I would, the worst one is to wake up in jail, not knowing why you're there. And my life began to progress. And by the age of 19, I'd done my first line of cocaine. By the time before I was 20, I'd smoked my first crack rock. By the time I was 20 years old, I was putting needles in my arms. Here I was, raised on a church pew, listening to some of the greatest preaching ever preached across the pulpit. But you see, I was on a collision course with disaster. I began to run around with bikers, and our drug of choice was methamphetamines. And we'd do robberies, we'd do burglaries, everything we could do to stay high. The only way I could keep up with my habit, I became a meth cook. And for 10 years, I was ducking and dodging and hiding from the law, cooking methamphetamines. At the age of 37, I got arrested for 5 Class Y felonies. In Arkansas, that's 10 to 60 years apiece. And I was on trial for these felonies. And they raided my house, and I had a full-blown meth lab in my house, and I got charged with 8 more Class Y felonies. I went to court, and my plea bargain was 40 to life. This is what the state offered me. Here I was, 38. My life was over. I would never get out of prison. So I was hopeless. There was nowhere to turn to. But I, in a drug rehab, I got on my knees, and I said, Jesus, I don't even know if you remember who I am. But if you'll forgive me of my sins and you take these demons and these addictions from me, I said, I promise whether I'm in prison or whether I'm free that I'll spend the rest of my life telling everybody about you. Immediately, I began to speak in another language as the Spirit gave me the utterance. You see, the Bible says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Brother Hart, I can tell you right now, as I began to speak in tongues, I felt demons tear out of my body. As I began to speak in tongues, drug addiction had to leave. As I began to speak in tongues, racism had to leave and bigotry had to leave. That old man, Nick Mahaney, died right there, March of 2004. And the new man, Nick Mahaney, stood up victorious. But can I tell you, since that day, March of 2004, there hasn't been no relapses in my life. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You don't have to have a relapse. Come on, that was March of 2004. I haven't drank another piece of alcohol. I haven't smoked another joint. I haven't put a needle in my arm because Jesus Christ set me free. Listen, he not only set me free, but as you can notice, in case you didn't notice, I'm not in prison. He took care of all that too. So I came to God with a lot of baggage. I came to God with things that I had done and been a part of that was always trying to bring me down. I was thinking about this not too long ago. And you notice if you go north, eventually you go south, right? Now, I'm not real smart. I'm just going to tell you what I learned here. I told Brother Hart the only thing that stood between me and college was high school, so. And it's true. I mean, They had me play Abraham Lincoln in the third grade. I was the only boy who could grow a beard. So, and you know, if you keep going south, guess what? You following me? You got me, Brother Johnstone? But if you go east, you always go east. If you go west, you always go west. He said, it's as far as the east is from the west. I was laying in the altar one more night. Everybody had left. Here I am down there crying, oh, God, forgive me. Now, you have to have a walk with repentance. And I felt this hand on my shoulder, and I heard the voice of an elder. You know what he said? He said, son, how many times are you going to repent for this stuff? God don't even know what you done. And I got up. Everything changed that day. You know why? Because it's in the sea of forgetfulness. Come on, you can't keep dredging up the things that you used to do. If I sit and dwell on all the things that I used to do, I would think it's impossible for me to make it another day. Romans 8 and 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now I want you to read this with me, Romans 8 and 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I want you to notice something. Paul mentions all these things that cannot separate us from the love of God. He talks about the present, the future. He goes down his whole list. But if you notice, he never says the past. You ever notice that in the scripture? Because Paul knew that if he dwelt on his past, that all the things that he had done against the church would separate him from God. Come on, you can't sit there and dwell on the things that you used to do. The devil will try to plant thoughts of the times that you was fallen and unworthy. But can I tell you, that is in the sea of forgetfulness. You need to learn right now who you are, that you're not that same person, that when you was repented and was baptized in the name of Jesus and received the gift of the Holy Ghost, because there is now no condemnation in you. Come on, you need to learn that you're a child of God. Come on, that you're a son of God. Come on, that God loves you, that God wants you to do his work. See, Abraham had a promise. God told him, he said, your seed will number as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. But he didn't wait on the promise, and he went into Hagar. Y'all remember this story? And they had Ishmael. Ishmael was the mistake in Abraham's life. Eventually, he had Isaac. Isaac was the miracle. Isaac was the promise. Can you imagine what it was like in their home with the mistake and the miracle living in the same house? Finally, Abraham had to take that mistake and get rid of it to live in the promise. Can I tell you, tonight is your night that you can leave everything that you've ever done wrong right here at this altar. I don't care what you did last night. I don't care what you did today before you came to church. If God can forgive me for the things that he forgave me for, that same God is in this place today. He wants you to walk out of here, not in chains anymore, but he wants you to walk out of here free, set free from the bondage of sin. Come on, set free from the things in your mind. Come on, we've got to crucify this mind. We can't let this mind get us walking in the flesh. Jesus is coming back. Come on, Jesus is coming back. We have to be like him. Every day I have to draw closer to him. Every day I have to be more like him. Tonight is your night. Tonight you can be set free from all the pain, all the depression, All the bondage. I want everybody to stand to their feet. See, I know what it's like to feel like that you'll never measure up. My brother's a pastor. My dad's a preacher. I was shameful when I came back to God because they were such good people. And here I was, a man with so much stains on his hands. I didn't know if I would even make it. I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to open up to you for a minute. Then my father passes away. That was my strength. I mean, that was who was shepherding me. He knew the temptations that were coming my way, and he'd kind of get out and buffer, guard me. My father passes, and I get married. And right after that, the Hearts come to Bryan, Arkansas. I was inside. Nobody realized how confused I was and the turmoil that was in my mind. I'll never forget Joel Hart said, "I'm here to teach you how to pray. I want you to meet me at the church." He said at 5. I was like, "In the morning?" I didn't know 5 came in the morning. First couple weeks, you know, I probably spent just as much time sleeping, to be honest with you, as praying. But I was making the effort. Something turned in me right after my sister died, laying on the floor in that church. I went to a different level in the spirit. So I know what it's like to be in church, but still trying to figure out who you are spiritually. That's what this whole chapter is talking about. You don't have to feel any condemnation. I don't care what kind of sin you've done. I don't care how far you've fallen. Jesus, he's here right now with his nail-scarred hands. Come on, am I talking to anybody? Just lift your hands. Come on. Come on, do you feel the presence of the Holy Ghost? Come on, am I talking to anybody in this place? Come on, I want you to just open up to him. Come on, maybe step out of your seat. Just get out of your comfort zone, see? You don't have to. Just move a little ways where you're out of your comfort zone. Come on, lift your hands to him. Come on, that's a sign that I need you. Come on. Come on, there you go. Come on, begin to praise him. Because you know what? There is now no condemnation because the blood is upon you. Come on, God doesn't look down and he doesn't see Nick Mahaney, the drug addict. God doesn't look down and see Nick Mahaney, the alcoholic. But God sees Nick Mahaney, this man is set free. Come on, this is your moment. This is your chance. He's here right now. Come on, that's it. Just begin to reach out to him. Come on, begin to reach out to him. Come on, we're not going to let up. Come on, condemnation has to leave this place. Come on, church, I want you to begin to come to the front. I want everybody to come to the front. Come on, get out of your seat. Come to the front. Come on, don't let up. Come on, this is your moment. That's it. Come to the front. Lift your hands. Come on, we're going to go to a different level here in a minute, but right now we're going to praise him. Come on, right now we're going to adore him. Right now we're going to give him all our thanks and all of our adoration. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, thank you. Come on, what you feel is condemnation has left this building. What you feel is conviction. You see, it's a simple process. It all starts with repentance. Now, repentance is not just being sorry. Repentance is, I'm not going to go back. You see, in a moment, Jesus can forgive you. In just a moment. And it'd be as far as the east is from the west. All in the sea of forgetfulness. So what I want you to do now, I want you to lift your hands and begin to repent. I can't repent for you. You can't do a sinner's prayer. You can't. You got to open up your heart and open up your mouth. Come on and begin repenting. God, forgive me of my sins. Come on. Lord, forgive me of my sins, God. I'm so unworthy. I need you to cover me with your blood. Come on, talk to him. God, cover me with your blood or forgive me, Lord. God, I've been going to places I shouldn't go. Come on, talk to him. I've been listening to things I shouldn't listen to, Lord. God, I've been dealing with things and anger and hatred and strife, God. Oh, God, I'm not going back to those. I'm asking you to cover me with your blood. Come on, tell him, Jesus, cover me with your blood. Come on. Forgive me, God. Oh, God, forgive me. Come on now, if you'll just open up, you'll begin to speak in another language. Come on, nobody will have to tell you how to do it. Come on, if you'll just open up, the Holy Ghost will begin to speak to you. Come on, by the authority of the Word of God and the power of the name of Jesus. Come on, receive you the Holy Ghost. Come on, just let it begin to flow out of your innermost beings. Come on, don't worry about what it sounds like. Prayer warriors, I need you to lay hands on people. Come on, prayer warriors, begin to pray with people. Come on, let it flow. Come on, receive it right now in the name of Jesus. One more time, begin to praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, mighty God. Oh, everlasting Father. Come on, there you go, prayer warriors. Reach over and lay your hands on somebody. Come on, it's yours. Come on, it's all yours. Come on, receive it. Yours, receive you the Holy Ghost. I speak against condemnation. It has to leave. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Come on, open up. Nothing. surrender to you. Don't let it die down. Come on, I want you, everybody, lift your hands again. Come on. Come on, we're in the presence of the Almighty God. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, we can't let up. We got to press on through. This is your moment. You don't have to walk out of here like you came in. All you got to do is open up to Him. Receive you the Holy Ghost. And
everything I give to you. I surrender all to you.
Let's just lift our hands. Come on. One more time. Just begin to praise Him. Oh, mighty God. Oh, mighty God. Oh, how I love you. Hallelujah. How I praise you. Come on. How I praise your name, Jesus. Come on. I praise you with everything that's within me, oh God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Thank you.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Where you're standing, sitting right now, would you mind just lifting your hands with me one more time? And there's a sovereign presence of the Lord that's here. He's not just here so we can say, I felt something, but the Spirit of God is here, and He has been working, breaking bonds as has been ministered. Come on, He's wanting to take you beyond just a touch and a feeling. He's wanting to reconcile relationship between you and Him, to bring you back into right relationship with Him. It's what your soul longs for. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I am thankful for the blood of the Lamb. It's the great equalizer among us. It's the great equalizer, because otherwise we're all dead and lost in our sin, but the blood of the Lamb. I've heard the word of the Lord. There's been repentance. There's been forgiveness. There's some of you, Brother Mahaney talked about it. You haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Repentance, the Lord forgives us when we repent. When we truly repent, He forgives us. What a wonderful thing that is. But the Scripture tells us there's a repentance where God forgives us, and then there's a process that whereby all of our sins are remitted or removed from us, washed away completely. Brother Mahaney talked about all the counts and the felonies and all those things that were against him. We spent some time in those few years praying about those things. What he didn't tell you was none of those counts are even on his record anymore. He has no record. The judge expunged his record. Is that right? He has no record. And you don't hear about that happening too often. The Lord did that. When you and I, now that's in a natural court. But in our walk, in our spiritual relationship with God, when we're baptized in Jesus' name, He's forgiven us for what I've done wrong. He's forgiven me for the error of my ways. But when I'm baptized in Jesus' name, not only has He forgiven me, now He has removed them, so the enemy no longer has any authority to use them against me any longer. They're gone. This is why the Scripture says in Revelation, we overcome the accuser by the blood of the Lamb. Because when I'm baptized in Jesus' name, the blood of the Lamb is applied to my life. And so now that the blood of the Lamb's on my life, the accuser can't come against me any longer. He'll try. And I can just plead the blood, say, I've had the blood on my life. That's what baptism is. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for being here tonight. Amen. Don't forget Bible study on Wednesday nights. 7 o'clock. Just never know what God will do. Sister Jester preached this past Wednesday night. You just never know what God... She was in the Holy Ghost. If you were here, she was in the Holy Ghost. You just never know what will happen on a Wednesday night. Amen. Next Friday night, Brother Tomev. If you're a guest tonight, the Lord has ministered to you and touched your heart. You say, hey, I know I felt something. I recognize something happening to me. I need to know more. I want to know more. We have people glad to spend time with you, teach you a Bible study, your home, their home, here at the church, open the Word of God with you, answer questions from the Word of God. Don't just leave. Feel free to grab somebody and say, hey, he said something about that. I want to know about that. Amen? God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Greet someone tonight.